He is the president, the general manager, and who the hell knows, maybe coach.
No, he's not coaching.
Oh, okay. Of the New York Islanders, here's Lou Lamoriello. Well.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
John.
Hey, Lou.
Looked very well.
Did your due diligence, looked in the mirror, found your general manager, and said, oh, okay, now we're ready to go. Now, I guess you now are the next big step is find a coach, huh?
That's the next, well, there's a lot of different things, but that's certainly one of them.
Have you started that process? I assume you have. You know, at least you got, have you got some kind of a list?
Yes.
Ooh,
and
that is the shortest of all possible answers.
I'll say it again, Lou. Man, I miss you, man.
Bob, I love it.
Okay, let me try another question, see if I can elicit a longer response. Where is experience on the list of criteria for you in hiring a coach? Do you care whether the guy has coached in the NHL before?
Not necessarily, but certainly it has to be someone that you feel is competent and has all the things that you need, and also the type of team you have and you, the players you have. You have to get the coach to coach that type of team. So it's, I've always said this, not every team is for every coach, not every coach is for every team. It depends upon personnel and also the style you want. So I think all of that is incumbent to who the coach should be.
Have you figured out what kind of team you have yet, Lou?
No. No.
So how do you go through that process?
Well, I think I'm going through that right now. I'm certainly listening to as many people within the hockey community in the organization on some of the, you know, background of different situations, how they use, when they're best used, and looking at all the types of lineups that they've had. And certainly Doug Wade, I've spoken to quite a bit, you know, about the lineup, and Gox Snow, who lived it. So these are things you get information. Plus, you know the team from afar, but you don't know the integral parts of it and different idiosyncrasies. I'm pleased with the talent that is there. You know, they're certainly like everything else. You have to complement certain players. You need certain ingredients, and every team has holes, and you try and fill them without subtracting.
So when you were in New Jersey, the reputation of the Devils was as a defensive-first hockey team. Now you had an all-world goaltender for most of the years you were there, so that had something to do with it, I guess. And then you come to Toronto, and the team was built, you know, out of necessity, really from scratch. You had to rip it apart and then start over again. And it was a team that featured speed. What do you think the Islanders are? And what would you, or more accurately, Lou, what would you like them to be?
Well, without question, in today's game, you want as much speed as you possibly can. And if you have talented players that don't have, say, speed, you have to complement them with speed. But you want a high-tempo team. That's the game today because the rules have changed. The
right.
rules have predicted, if you want to have success, what type of team. So there's no question that's it. But I want to correct you on one thing. Yes,
okay.
In New Jersey, we had defensive teams, but we also led the league in scoring several years with those defensive teams.
I understand.
The perception was always there. So it's not defense and offense. It's the goal differential. I think if you take last year's stats in the National Hockey League and you looked at the goal differential, you'll put a line at who was in the playoffs and who weren't. It had nothing to do with how many goals you scored. It had to do with the differential.
Well said.
You talked about discussing things with Doug and Garth.
We're going to stay on, right? In some capacity?
Well, I guess.
Are they, Lou? Are you going to keep them around?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You always have good pointed answers, so I'll ask you a pointed question. Why isn't Doug Wade good enough to coach this team anymore?
you know, that's on my plate to make that decision. And I have my reasons why. And the interaction that I've had with Doug, he knows why. And that's the most important thing for me. And I'm sure you're aware, I had Doug in the 96 World Cup and in the Olympics. I know him extremely well. He's a quality individual, a good hockey man. But right now, in my opinion, there needed to be a change.
So this is the second time in, I guess, 4 years you had to go to a new organization. And the Islanders, I would assume, are in a little different spot than the Maple Leafs were when you came to Toronto. Has your approach been any different in coming to returning to New York as it was to come to Toronto?
No, I think no preconceived notions should prevail. But once you feel you know what is right, you do it. I think you've heard my expression for years, John. When time's on your side, use it. But when you feel that you've had enough time, you make those decisions. And I think that's what it is. But you don't rush things because you want to give every individual the opportunity to come forward on what his assets and liabilities are. No different when you change a coach with a team. In most cases, a couple of players get better and a couple get worse. You just hope the most talented ones get better. It's just the nature of how different management styles are and coaching styles are. So you have to be careful of that and be cognizant of any decisions you make and that they're not too hastily.
With Lou Lamoriello, the president and now general manager of the New York Islanders. So, Lou, the consensus around here was, and this is not really from me, I didn't see the Islanders enough to really make any kind of evaluation, but the hockey pucks around here who watch games night after night after night thought the Islanders would be better last year than they were. So by that qualification, the club underachieved. First of all, do you agree with that assessment? And do you think that this team has more talent than it has demonstrated?
Well, first of all, I hope all your hockey gods are right. And secondly, I'm pleased with the talent that's there. And I have to see what the reasons are that, maybe things didn't go accordingly, but only time will tell that. But I'm pleased with what is here. It is different than when I did go to Toronto, without question.
Yeah. Well, you came to Toronto with the understanding that it was going to be a rip and tear for the first year. And I assume that that's not the plan in on the island, is it?
Absolutely not. When the first year in Toronto, we went through, I think just under one or two of 50 players.
Yeah.
That will not happen in the island.
You talked about in your press conference yesterday on the conference call about a culture change. Is there any simple way to explain that?
Well, first of all, and I did mention that it's an overused word and underdeveloped. Culture means accountability and in every instance, but consistently accountability, doing the right thing, no matter how small and how big, day in and day out, and then they just multiply. And getting everyone to be buying into those practices for the good of the team. And sometimes you're asking people to give up their own identity, but that isn't meaning their talents, but this is in their mannerisms that, teams win championships, individual players win games.
I can't think of anybody better to ask this of, I don't think we've talked to you about other teams and things we've seen in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It looks like Vegas has got to win three in a row in order to win the Stanley Cup, but their run has been extraordinary and well-documented. I'm wondering if, and you would understand this too, you even alluded to it with, you got to have speed now in the way the game is played now in the NHL. Have you seen anything that Vegas has done that might influence other teams to change their thinking, change their philosophy in any way?
No, I don't think so. I just think that it's an indication to every team in the National Hockey League as to where the parity is and how close teams are, and that when you get everyone pulling in the same direction and maximizing their assets together, the end result can be very nice. And they have done a tremendous job. George McPhee, the approach they took, the way they put the team together, everything they did from day one, including the way they froze different teams so that they could hold on to players, but were able to get the people that they wanted. Incredible. One of the greatest managing jobs in all of sports, in my opinion.
Do you think that that success is sustainable in Vegas? I mean, they shouldn't lose very many players. They don't have age as a factor with hardly anybody. They should be able to bring back 90% of that team, maybe more. Do you think this is a happenstance, a fluke, if you will, or do you think that they might be good for a few years now?
That's a very difficult question to answer, and the reason is that you will not know that until after next year. What happens, and if you go through the history of the National Hockey League, other than a handful of teams who have had sort of a 6 to 8 year run and won cups, you see teams win, and then the next year have a very difficult time. In fact, don't recover. It's almost you can pinpoint, and I can think of them in my mind that have won a year, and then another one won a year. And what happens there, Bob, is that players on that team who sacrificed and accepted the minutes that were given because they've had success, the next year think they're better than they are.
Yeah.
And I've had that experience in New Jersey. I had that experience in 95 to 96. We won in 95. We missed the playoffs in 96 by a point, but we had players who played 12 minutes and 11 minutes thought they should be getting 16 and 18 the next year. And there wasn't any different. It's just the way they think of themselves. When you win, everybody gets better than they are. So it's going to be how they can manage that and handle that, and only time will tell how that goes. And plus, there's free agency. You lose players. Who goes in? So it's a very difficult question to answer, whether they can or they can't. They did it this year, so you should be able to do it the next year, but the intangibles will be getting in the way or not in the way. Mm.
You talked a little bit about George accruing draft picks. Memory serves me, you actually have a couple of first-round draft picks in Dallas in 2 weeks?
Yes, two first and two second.
Can we assume you're going to pick rather than trade?
You could never assume anything, John.
I know. So you're not going to build through the draft.
What's your highest pick? Just out of interest, what's your number in the first round? Where is it?
11, I think.
11,
something like that.
11 and 12.
Yeah,
11 and 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris did not do a good job at the draft lottery for you. I mean, Chris has to do a better job at the draft lottery, Lou.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I told him that.
You haven't fired him yet, have you? No, never mind.
Can't fire your own son. No. You know. would you consider moving your picks?
Yes,
you will. Okay, and so the next question has to be what.
And by the way, when you ask that question, there's no one who wouldn't consider moving their picks if you're going to make your team better
right.
for today and tomorrow.
Right.
We did it in Toronto a couple of years ago. We gave two picks, a last first and a high second for Freddie Anderson. So whatever you can do, and I'm sure they would do that over again.
So, but this is more probably in line with your we need to win now mentality. Is that fair to say?
No, not necessarily. Okay. I think that it depends upon what your assets and what is available in a draft and what you have in your farm system. And, you know, sometimes you can move down, as we've all seen, and gain a couple more seconds. But you still, if the building through the draft is still the fundamental, success. That now what you do is complement that in any way you can.
Before we let you go, last time we had you on, it was, right after, I guess the day after you agreed to terms in on the island, and I recall asking you a little bit about the arena situation, which does fall, in your bailiwick to some extent. Any changes, any updates in the last few weeks, Lou, on progress up at Belmont?
I've been, you know, brought up to date on it. It's certainly, and more so within the last 2 weeks, it's full steam ahead. I think I've seen renderings of it. It's just an incredible building, and our ownership, Scott Malkin, you know, has this mind of what he wants this to be in the type of building. It's going to be something that's really special and unique. You know, I'm still trying to figure out a couple of things that they have. But as far as for the hockey team and the facility for the team and the areas for that, it's you know, naturally when you're one of the last to get it, like Detroit was, I think we talked about them the last time.
Yeah.
You know, you're able to learn from everybody else. So it should be something fantastic.
You no doubt in your mind this is going to happen, though, huh?
No doubt in my mind. I mean, unless somebody knows something I don't know, or everything, all the meetings I'm in and what's transpiring, you know, are a waste of time. But I can assure you that's not going on.
Two quick questions for me, because I know the answers are going to be quick. Can you get Tavares signed before July 1st?
Next question.
Are you the general manager when they open the season in October?
Yes.
Well, why would you ask that question?
Well, because there's been a lot of speculation that there are people out there that when their contracts become available, that Lou will offer them the general manager's job in middle of July.
Oh, I had not heard that. So the answer from Lou is, no, I'm not giving up my job.
No,
I just hired myself.
Well,
now you want him to fire himself.
That isn't what I said, Bob. Oh. I answered John's question. John gave me a question.
Lou, I'm trying. I'm working as hard as I can.
So is Lou. So is Lou. Are you kidding me?
I know he is. He's bobbing and weaving.
Oh, man.
Listen. I know. You're a good man, Lou. We congratulate you on appointing yourself. And we wish you well. We'll talk to you hopefully over the course of the offseason as you start to assemble assets. And we'll stay in touch. Hope all is well. And thank you very much. I know you don't do many of these.
No.
We hope to see you soon.
Absolutely. Oh, always a pleasure. Yep. Thanks, Bob. John, you owe me dinner.
See you in Dallas.